Hello, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another Q&A. I have Floggy here from Discord with me. Evening, mate, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. So?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. We'll get straight into it. First of all, before we start, I want to give a shout-out to the one person that's leading the Discord League. So it's Ali, Don't Touch My Penicini is his team name, and he's around the top 350 at the moment. So I just wanted to give an update around that and shout out to him. He's having a great start to the year. The first question, Floggy, is around Jai Gray, and is he a pickup? Personally, I'm going to say no, because South have the bye next week, and then we have Melbourne and Penrith, who I don't think he's going to score well against, and then we've got the whole Latrell thing. I think his price isn't going to run away. I think we just wait on him. Do you agree with that, Floggy?
Yeah. Well, they're your mob, mate. You'd know them better than myself. So,
yeah.
But I think we covered it off on the pod. We're probably looking to avoid when there's a coach change out. We don't really look to pick up any of those players from that team.
Yeah, and yeah, we've got a few more questions here from Discord, just general questions that people have been asking. The next one is around Burbo. Is he a trade out, and if who too? I think with all the fires, a lot of people are looking to trade him out next week. But I'm thinking, hold one more week unless you really need to sell. But I think someone like an Angus Crichton or a Tom Chester are kind of options for you, depending on what you need, Floggy.
Yeah, they're great. They're one of the there's about three or four major pickups, and they're definitely one of them. So can't talk them out of it, but I reckon at least wait on Burbo at least one more week.
Yeah. The next question is around Ponga. Is he a pickup this week? Would you be keen on picking up Ponga, Floggy?
Knights got a pretty good draw at the moment. And the only team I think that's got a better draw at the moment is the Warriors over the next five. So if you're in a position you can pick him up, why not?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I've got him. I've had him from the start, but I think he's a very good pickup this week. The next question is around what to do with Tedesco and Garrick. Do we think their sells, Floggy, with them being out with the HIA and they've got high break evens and they're probably going to lose money? Or do you think it's kind of situational based on like what your team needs? Because, I mean, some people could be ultra aggressive and do it, or you could play the conservative and say, right, I know they're good scorers, I'm just going to hold because other people are going to pick them up soon with them being cheaper, like a Garrick coming into Origin.
Yeah, mate, I've got Garrick, and I'm moving on him. As much as I love having him on my side, I need to move this week, and especially my back five are certainly on the weaker side, and I don't have much cover, so I don't have the luxury of riding him out. And also a lot of the bring-ins this week, I believe there's only probably one decent wing fullback, and that's where I'm really struggling, is that wing fullback spot. So
yeah.
I'm moving on Garrick, and I don't have Teddy, but he was going very well up until that point. Roosters have a pretty strong background with players with HIAs, especially significant ones. Cordner, for example, Kiri's had quite a bit of a run as well. They tend to err on the side of caution. I mean, all teams do, but I think the Roosters are especially sensitive on that. With Teddy, I think unless you're able to make some trades and fill those spots, I can't talk you out of moving on him. Just note that, look, he could well be back within the minimum time frame of 2 weeks. But,
yeah,
I think it's a fairly volatile position at the moment. We've got enough other strong scorers that you're trying to fit in. You're trying to get some cash, trying to justify making some trades, and it's early in the season, so. You can always move and look at Teddy a little bit later, and he's got origin periods and stuff like that coming up anyway. So he was likely going to be either riding the bench for you, or you're going to trade him out anyway. So
yeah, we have a question from Ross, good friend of the show. Evening, Ross. He was asking around Garrick to Ponga. Like, if that was my team, I'd be pulling the trigger. I'd just, you know, because you're getting an out and out keeper, right?
Yeah, same as before, mate. It's just kind of a combination of the two. So Ponga's got a good run coming up. He's the goal kicker. Knights need to deliver over the next little while because they do have some decent matchups.
And
they've really started on the back foot so far. So having the goal kick is certainly going to help. Ponga, everything's going to have to go through him. And we've saw what he did even in the wet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this week.
Yeah, and he's also kicking the ball a bit more. I noticed his kick meters are a bit up, which has also helped.
Yeah, having the rookie five half. Hastings back kind of takes a little bit of it away.
For a wing fullback, I personally think I would captain, forward or half or hooker, just because wing fullback scoring can be a bit volatile. What's your thoughts on the captaincy this week, Floggy?
Yeah, I generally have a rule where wing fullbacks and centres, you don't generally captain them unless there's a really strong matchup. Whilst it might come off one week, it might not come off the next, whereas generally stick around the halves. Halves, hookers, mids, there's some strong matchups in the edges this week as well. I just normally stick to the top four positions rather than the bottom two. Look, if you really want to go for it, but yeah, it's generally most a lot of the time it doesn't generally turn out too well.
Yeah, I agree with that. The next question is, should we start looking at players for round 13? If so, do we have any with value? So looking at round 13, guys, that you could bring in, I think it's important that we don't overthink it, because I know in previous years quite a lot of people have brought players in early and broken their team apart for round 13, and then those players get injured or things happen. I think if it works for your team, go for it. I think guys like Britton Nicora, he's going to drop in price soon to the low 600s. Kai Pearce-Paul, probably the last week to get him if you don't have him. They've got Angus, we've got Chester. There's a few guys around for that round 13. So do keep it in mind, but, don't necessarily force things. Would you agree with that kind of thing, Floggy? And do you have any other guys that I've missed that we should look at for round 13?
I haven't looked at it too strongly just yet. I just know a few teams have a more favourable matchup during the buys. But I guess this is when, probably about this time you start, when you're making those decisions to bring players in, you look at their buy schedules now, you're looking at if they play 13, when you're making those 50-50 calls, where you're not sure whether to go for one player or another, have a look at the buy schedule and let that make your decision, because you don't want to be max trading up until then. I know we're all max trading now, but eventually the idea is we're going to have to get to a point where we have to hold those trades. So when we get to that point, we're going to have to prepare for that. So I think it's definitely something that keep in mind, but not battle stations just yet.
I agree with that. The next question is from Ali from the Discord. He's asking around best mid or edge, 750K or under. So he has Carrigan, Cotter, May, and Kai Pearce-Paul already. So Carrigan, Cotter, May, Kai Pearce-Paul. So I'm just looking under the 750. Who do we have? Zach Hosking, DeBellin, Cameron McInnes potentially. Could be one at around 700K for an option with the Sharks getting the buy out of the way. Another option is Nat Butcher, sort of bit pottish, but should be in that 80-minute role. But the one I really like, Floggy, that's under that 750K, the best mid or edge is Utica Manu Stefano. He's averaging about 56, 57, and if he keeps that up, he's going to be making more money. I guess the question around him is he could play Origin, but if you're looking at the next 6 weeks, he's probably the guy as your best mid or edge, unless you wait on a fallen Nicora in a couple of weeks, Floggy. Would you agree with that, mate?
That's a decent shout. He's probably going to earn a bit more cash. He's been doing pretty well. Scored a 77. It's a bit of a tricky price point because most of the players around that bracket you kind of want already You want them as a keeper, but I don't know if there's too many in that price bracket that are keepers. If you can push it to maybe 803, you've got Carrigan a little bit further up. McInnes is one that I own. I think that's pretty well struggle street, even as you're saying, Jack DeBellum. Jack DeBellum's playing off the bench, so we don't know what's going on there either. Elliott's certainly not a purchase. I think once you go down a bit further, you're looking at guys who aren't really making too much money. They're pretty priced out at the moment. Maybe a Tarpane, but even then he's kind of been up and down as well. And there's now the stocks are coming back. It's a bit tricky to make that call on those.
I agree with that, mate. He's also asking, secondly, for his second question about Chevy Stewart or Schiller. Personally, I'd go Chevy Stewart at the 230K with Rapiner out for 6 to 8 weeks. Obviously, the risk is the Raiders lose a couple or Chevy struggles and he's dropped in 2 or 3 weeks. But personally, I think I like Chevy at fullback better than Schiller on the wing. Do you agree with that, Floggy?
I guess so, mate. I think there's a few sneaky traps in there in those really cheapy blokes at the moment. We covered off on Gray. There's a few other guys, but I think there's probably a few standouts. Iroh even. He's potentially got he's a bit tricky because we don't know if he's definitely got that spot or not. I think most Chester's probably the cheapest bring in this week that basically has that spot fairly locked down.
Yeah.
So if that's the position you want to fill, great. There he is. He's a little bit more expensive though. But a lot of people, I think Iroh is the most traded in bloke this week. So far. So basically a lot of people jumping on and not only that, I think a lot of people jumped on to Lagi either last week or the week before. Him to Iroh is kind of a get out of jail free card and you get a bit of extra cash for that as well. So I think that's a pretty popular
draft. The way I see it, Floggy, is Iroh's got the lesser job security but the more upside. And I think Chevy Stewart might have a little better job security, but maybe won't make the money quite as fast.
They've got a buy. He's there for 6 weeks, I think, or five, 6 weeks or so. They've got a buy. They've got two in 7 weeks. So you've got to consider, is he going to make that amount of cash?
Yeah.
It just comes down to if a wing fullback is where you need to try and fulfill, maybe he's your guy because Iroh doesn't have that.
Cookie.
Evening, Savard.
Evening. Just going back to your previous question regarding Utoi, you also need to remember before you get him in, he had super inflated minutes because last week Benji messed up the interchange with the injuries, so Clem only played 15 minutes. And the week before that against Para, there was no Tuao on the bench, so I think he is getting inflated minutes, and that's pushing up his score. So that is something you need to keep in mind if you want to get him in.
Thank you.
Can I say something as well, though? Evening, boys. You got to remember Bateman and Samuela Fainu are both out this week as well, and they're both middles. And Tuao is the only recognised middle on their bench. They've got a hooker, an edge, and a centre. To fill out the rest of the interchange. So, Uto, I think, is quite a good shout.
But Justin Matamua and Asu are now playing in the middle / edge / lock as well. So Asu is not a winger anymore, just letting you know.
All right, thanks for that, guys. The next question is around if JD goes, do we think Murray's minutes change? Personally, I think Murray's minutes are going to average what they have been. Some games he'll be down at that 60, other games he'll be in the low 70s. So I don't think his minutes are going to change at all. I think it'll stay the same. The next question is from Batty. He's asking, with around the Bulldogs injuries, do we think Hughes and Salmon will benefit and is Hutchinson a sell? Personally, for me, Floggy, I think Hutchinson, I'm a bit nervous, with Sexton there in the background and whether Hutchinson goes back to the bench, given they've got no forwards. I'm selling Hutchinson this week and because I need to get rid of a Bulldog with their bye. But as for Hughes and Salmon, I think Salmon's a hold. I think he benefits. And I think Hughes, if you've still got him, as we saw last week, is the big beneficiary. I see him getting around that 45 minutes again. And I think Paulie's predictor had him at 31 and, you know, to make 20-25K this week. So I think that about sums that up, Floggy, mate.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a tricky one. Me personally, I don't have the luxury of trading out a half this week. I still both have Flano and Hutcho at the moment, but with fingers crossed, both Galvin and Cleary back next week. Fingers crossed. They're basically on the chopping block, both of them, for next week. So. I can't really talk anyone out of him, though, because, I mean, we haven't seen a huge, massive game out of him. Basically, you've held him this far because he's been doing just enough. But, yeah, we saw his game kind of implode a bit last week. So, I reckon he's a go.
Yeah.
On the opposite. I reckon Hutchinson's a keeper. Just for a bit longer until Sexton comes in, because he's still making cash. It's slowly, but he's still making it. And, like, this year, Cashton is kind of hard to find. So, I mean, you can't really jump off Cashton as easily as you could in previous years.
Yeah, it really depends on how, basically, if you're pushing to try and get in somebody like a Crichton, for example, though, it's only a little bit of extra cash more to go from one trade. If that's your trade, then I can't really talk you out of that one, because that one just makes quite a bit more sense, especially if you're flush with, if you've got Fogarty, for example, you've got a Hines or a Cleary as well, and Galvin, because most people do. If you're flush with halves, I'm holding him this week just purely for necessity, but if you're in a position where you need to move on someone, or you've got heaps of halves, why not?
The next question is around Fogarty. Is it too late to get Fogarty after a lower score last week? Is he still a keeper? And is Smithy's a hold now? So around Fogarty, I think he's last year's SJ. So he's, yeah, looking good. So I would not talk anyone out of not getting Fogarty. I still think he's going to be a keeper. And with Horsburgh out for 6 to 8 weeks now, I think Smithy's is a hold. You just keep riding that train. The next question is around Peter Mamazelis and what will happen with him. So, with the interim coach. So, it looks like JD's gone after this game. I think Mamazelis will stay in the team but share the role with Cook. So, it's just too volatile there at the moment. Don't pick up any South players. Wait till after the bye and then see what happens. The next question is around Isaiah Katoa survive. Is he still a pickup? He's priced at 34 this week, about 475K. Personally, for me, with him doing all the kicking, I think he's going to have some games where he gets the, like, 40s and 50s, but also the game where he can get the 20s like he did a couple of weeks ago. Like, I think he's going to average that low 40s. But, you know, the Dolphins' schedule doesn't look too bad with them playing round 13, but I would get him this week if you want him, but it's the last week to get Isaiah Katoa, but be aware he's up and down. Survive. Would you agree with that, mate?
He does have a kind of a hard bye for the next few weeks. He's got Broncos, Para, and I think, when does Moses come back?
About round 12.
Okay, so that's a while off. But he does have Broncos, Para, Knights, Cowboys, Manly. And, like, those are kind of hard matchups, and he will score bad against bad team, like, good teams like Broncos. So, I don't know. I'm holding off him because he's a bit, like, near 500K, but it just depends. Do you need a half or not?
Yeah. The next question, Floggy, is around Ezra Mam. Is he a buy? And personally, for me, I don't think so. With Reynolds back next week, he's just too up and down for my liking, and he needs tries to score well. I mean, you could stash him as 18th man and loop him, but yeah. And also around Kai Piss-Paul is the second part of the question. Is it too late? I think this is probably the last week to get him, because you can kind of get Nikora for around the same price soon, as Kai Piss-Paul. Floggy.
Hey, mate. I think Mam's got a bit of show and go on him as well, so He reminds me a lot of Walsh, but just doesn't get that ball maybe as much. because he doesn't roam as much as what Walsh does, but they've certainly got some individual brilliance that he's going to see some higher scores come out of plays kind of out of nowhere, which we've seen. We saw in the grand final. We saw week gone by as well. So, I mean, if you want him, just be prepared for those up and downs. But for me, I personally am avoiding him. But, yeah, I think if you want to roll the dice with him, go for it.
Yeah, the next question is from King Country Floggy around Corey Waddell. Is he a smoky with dual position 391K with a history of low 40s? Yeah, so around that, I think, I'd have to wait and see because Burbo could go back and start next week and then Waddell's back on the bench. So I would need to see that Burbo is out of the picture on the bench and Waddell's starting to even consider him. Floggy.
I don't think that'll happen, mate. I don't see how Burbo fits on that bench if he's not there. He'll either be centre or second row. Like they've gone that way. They've moved away from Schuster. So I don't know. He's starting this week. I think definitely maybe have a look at how that lineup works and how that rotation works, and look, it might be really worthwhile. But I think certainly if you're going early this week, just be prepared for some potential danger in case things don't go quite according to plan.
I agree.
They can easily change that back, because that lineup can change quite easily back to how it has been. So it's the same reason why maybe not getting off Burbo this week, because inversely, you want to see how that lineup goes.
Yeah, the second part of his question is around Chester and his job security with the centre spot. Do we pick him up this week, or would you prefer to wait a week, Floggy, and just have a look at him and then get him next week if he's looking good?
And the rule's always at least wait a week, but he's played before, so we've kind of seen how that works. And he's got that spot, basically, as far as we're aware. So he's got that spot down. There can always be changes, but he's got that spot unless something seriously goes wrong. So, especially if you've got a Tulagi and you're looking to either go like for like or even probably an upgrade, I think you could probably look to pick him up this week. I'd like to pick him up, but I think he's got a bit more security than Iro, but he's worth a bit more too. So I need to cash out this week, which is why I'm going that way.
And then finally, he asks around whether we can carry Hines and Cleary, or do we think it's better to partner one of them with an SJ? Personally, I think with cash gen struggling this year, like, you got to be careful of going with Hines and Cleary and then not having enough depth in the other positions. I like the SJ and one of Hines or Cleary, or having like a Fogarty with one of Hines or Cleary. Do you agree with that, Floggy, or do you think you go for Hines and Cleary? Like, I guess it depends on your cash gen, if you've got 11.4, 11.5 million, or whether you're down at the 10.9 kind of mark.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, it depends on how much you're breaking your side to be able to get them in. The highest value side at the moment is 11.5 so far. And normally it's much, much higher than that. So at the moment, everyone's on struggle street. Likely, if you're able to get Hines and Cleary together, unless you've ducked and weaved through some of these injuries, I think you're probably going to have to break your team up a bit to try and get them in, which you could justify to a degree, but you don't want to leave yourself too short on cash gen then moving forward, because basically it might take quite a bit to get that cash gen back up and running again. So try not to leave yourself too short. But yeah, I think we're heading into that point. And not only that, we don't know what's going to happen with the Blues. Hines potentially could be 14.
Yeah.
Don't know. So if you're rushing to get Hines and Cleary in, potentially you could be seeing them sitting on the bench for a couple of weeks very, very soon too. So just be prepared for that. So certainly if you've already got Fogarty and you're in a position where you can upgrade to them at the moment, well, Cleary's not in. Yeah, I think Fogg's probably got a bit more cash to make, so maybe hold off on those bigger trades just yet.
Yeah. The next one, Survive, is from Mo. He's asking around Satili Tupiniua to Manu and a Rapana to Yutuka Manu. I like those trades.
I actually like those as well. Yeah. Manu, he's at fullback this week, so he's obviously going to get like a 60-plus score most likely. And then even then, he does well at centre, and then when Origin hits through, he's back at fullback. So I reckon he's probably like the cheapest he'll get for this stage, just before Origin, so now would be the best time to pick him up.
Yeah. The next question is from while you're there, Survive. He's asking around Burbo to Angus. I really love that trade. And then Rapana to Jaden Campbell, which I really like. We also have a question from Finn Diesel around Campbell, so we'll answer that while we're here. Like, what are your thoughts on those trades? And do you like Campbell coming in for Rapana, Survive? Do you want to jump in on that one? Sorry, Sloggy.
I missed it. Sorry. What was that one? Just real quick.
So it's around Burbo to Angus and Rapana to Jaden Campbell. I love those trades.
Yeah, I mean it's a move. It's a step in a direction that's going to potentially get you some cash gen. We saw Campbell have a pretty good game. Angus had a really good game as well. Just be mindful that rotation was a little bit tricky, especially with what we've heard with the rumours around May. I mean, it's making your cash. We kind of covered this already, but personally, I'm definitely holding on Burbo because that can change back fairly easily, and then you've basically just moved on a bloke who's just finally started to get his cash gen really moving forward. So that's my concern, is just be prepared. If you are looking at moving on Burbo this week, that could well happen.
Yeah, and just on Jaden,
I had to step out for a minute, but I'll put in my two cents. I don't like Jaden Campbell. The Titans aren't really a good team this year, and we've seen, like, last year, Buller, like, he did have a few good games, but then being the fullback for a crap team, you're not going to score big every week. So, like, do expect, like, 15s and 20s from Jaden Campbell most weeks if you do buy him.
Yeah, just around, Jaden Campbell, Finn Diesel was asking, are we worried, that if we get him priced at 34, can he average around 45? And personally for me, I think Jaden's like, he just finds fantasy points. It's just one or two plays for him in a game, and he can get like a 20-point play. Like, I would knock it down a bit from his 44 average of the last few years and say around 42. But I think if you want him, like, it's got to be this week. It's the week that you get him. And there's still probably 7 points value, maybe 8 points value there. So that's where I'm at on the Campbell thing. I think there is value, but just be aware it might not be quite as much as what you think, but should still be solid.
You also need to be prepared for that occasional 20 or 30 score. So just, like, if he does get that, you just got to expect it.
Yeah, I agree with that. The next question, Floggy, is from Dario. Who would you pick, Dylan Brown or Cherry Evans? Are we worried about Cherry Evans with his Origin schedule? Personally, for me, I'd pick Dylan Brown just because he plays the round 13 and he's doing, you know, last week that Para weren't good and he still got a 48, in a game where they got annihilated, Floggy.
Yeah, 100%. And he plays through. He doesn't play Origin, so you've got that. And worst case scenario, the big thing he's got going for him at the moment is Moses is missing. They have a fairly good run coming through as well. Leading up to that point, I think they both meet each other, not this week but next. Having that ability to be playing through Origin, this is where those 50-50 decisions are made, and you have a look at who's likely to miss out Origin-wise and buy schedule-wise. DCE obviously is not going to be there, so I think Brown's the pick.
Yep, I agree with that. The next question is around Murray from Tim A. He's asking, should he sell Murray to Hines? He doesn't have Cleary. Do you like moving on Murray to get Hines, given South have the bye next week? And, what's your thoughts around that, Floggy?
Out of all the bunnies to have, he's the one to have. So
I think Floggy just dropped out there. Sorry, guys. But,
he's
like
keeping
that.
His secrets.
I like that move. I'd go Murray to Murray to Hines personally, if it's the only way to get Hines in.
Yeah, if you don't have Cleary, why not? Go for it.
Yeah. The next question is from Timbo Slice, good old Timmy. He's asking around the best player between 600 to 700K. Personally, I like Manu, if you could get him, or I like Stefano as another option, or sort of waiting on Nikora for a couple more weeks. Yeah, those are probably my top couple of options there. Floggy, anything else to add there, mate, in that sort of range?
No, we kind of covered that off already. Mostly just covered off the second rowers and forwards, but they're kind of it anyway, really, because, I mean, the only other players around those other price points are maybe some of the key wing fullbacks that, again, I don't like spending money there, especially early on, especially ahead of Origin, unless you've got a bloke that isn't going to play Origin. I think it's a bit silly maybe to spend too much money there, especially as we are getting a bit closer to that point. So, but maybe have a look at the Origin schedule and see how that goes.
Yeah, the second part of Timbo's question, Survive, is around Bostock or Levi. Who would you trade out first? Personally, for me, Floggy, I would probably... It's a hard one, depending on who you want to go first. I think you could hold one more week, but if you had to flick one, maybe Bostock, Floggy.
No, I'm on the other side, I reckon. Yeah, Levi's only making cash and only just now, and he's being held up. He scored 4 tries out of the 5 games he's played. That's the only reason why he's gotten to where he is. So, and even then, to score a try that frequently, they're not big point games. He's only scoring 30s with a ceiling of 40, I think it is. So I think Levi's probably closer to the chopping block, whereas Bostock's kind of running still pretty well. So I reckon I'll hold off on Bostock. He's got a 13 break even this week, scored 33 on the weekend. So
yeah,
one more cash to make.
Yeah, the final part of Timbo's question is around Jerome Hughes. Is he a cut price keeper in the halves, Floggy? Personally, for me, I think he's averaging 59 from the 3 games. I think he's going to be a low 50s guy. Personally, I wouldn't do it, but I guess if you really want to, you could.
I wouldn't really say he's a keeper, but he could be like a guy that you can use to move on to like an SJ or a Hines later on. Because like you said, he's going to average low 50s, and I think he does have a slightly lower break-even this week. So he could just get like 50, 100k cash, and then it's easier to move on to like I said, SJ or Hines.
Yeah, he's got a 68 and a 69 in his 3 week average. So his break even's quite low. I agree with Survivor. He's probably a nice stepping stone to get one of those top tier blokes, because the goal is always to eventually move on him. So you can amass the cash and make a step up rather than break your side by moving on multiple blokes early and kill your cash gen. So can't talk him out of it. But I think the question was more around if he's a cut price keeper or not. I don't think he is. Fogarty's probably the line there, and I think Hughes is below that.
The next question, Survive, is around Terrell May to Jack DeBellin. Should we trade Terrell out? Personally, I'm saying no, not at this stage, Survive. I think hold Terrell and... Yeah, because DeBellin minutes in that pack as well are a bit up and down at the moment. Like, I wouldn't do that move.
Bench, isn't he?
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that move anyway.
Mason has cash to Jen. Like, he's averaging 50 this year, so I reckon he gets to 700k in, like, a few weeks.
Yeah. The next question is from Hallway Monitor Survive. He can go Chan and Talagi, get rid of those two, to Hines and Chester. Or does he go Brandon Smith and Kotrick instead of Hines and Chester and cross his fingers that Chan and Talagi get some downtime in the coming weeks? He's talking about Brandon Smith being a plodder and whether he looks at Angus. Personally, I'd flick Chan and Talagi out, Survive, and get Hines and Chester.
Even if Tulagi does come back, he'll come back at centre. So, like, he did only have one good game there, but I don't really trust Tulagi at centre. And Chan, I don't think. I think he's done for. I think Bellamy would just trust either Jack Howarth from now on or just Sean Bloor.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. We've got another question here from Roscoe Survive. He's asking, when do we aim to own both Hines and Cleary? Well, for me, it depends around whether Hines plays Origin or not. Like, I'm not going to get them at this stage both. Like, I've got Cleary, I don't want Hines as well because it ruins my team balance. So I'm just waiting for another 6 weeks and then I can make that decision, Survive.
Just this year, Cashton is super, super slow, so I don't think you're going to get them early as we did last year. I reckon you'd probably want to get Cleary or Hines just before Origin, so you have, like, one of those guys, and then, like, about round 2021, you'd want to get the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else to add in there, Survive? Or Floggy, before we finish up?
Instead of Hines, like, I'm looking at SJ, because Sean Johnson, he's probably, the lowest he'd ever get at 814k. So I reckon he is, like, the cut price keeper. Like, he's only 50k more than Jerome Hughes. And, like, if you do want a cut price keeper, SJ's your guy.
Yeah. Just finally, guys, we're just going to finish up. But it's the great Paulie G's birthday tomorrow, so I've been told. So I'm going to sing happy birthday to Paulie Floggy before we finish. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Paulie. Happy birthday to you. And I hope the Tigers win for you, mate. So on you, Paulie.
That's awesome.
And that about does us, guys, for this week. I wish you all the best for this round. Hopefully less carnage. We can all, you know, do the trades we won in next week with green dots, and we have a full squad of 21 available and Cleary back and a few other things. Thanks for joining us, guys, and we will talk to you next week. Bye for now.